But today we begin by looking at a topic that many of us are very familiar with, and that is the topic of charity. And I say that we are all familiar with this because this is one of the most generous churches that I have ever been a part of. And I just am just, as a pastor, just my heart swells with joy and honestly with pride to know that when Charlie, as Charlie asked earlier, you know, that we have a cheerful givers, and I know that you guys are cheerful givers. And it is an amazing thing, and it to me is one of the reflections of God's heart that makes new hope, new hope. But charity sometimes can be misunderstood. And so today I want to unpack some truths about the art of giving, and it is just that. I want us to hopefully see some truths about charity, that it is an art form. And if you know anything about art, and I don't claim to know much, but art is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? I mean, there's some things that you and I may agree are classical art pieces, right? How about Da Vinci's David? The Mona Lisa? Then we might throw in some Pollock or Dolly. And some of you all will be like, that's not art. What is that, splattered paint? It is the same I've seen within the church, is that many times we get to a charity that is dear and precious to us, or a way in which we give, and that becomes sacred. But the fact is, how one gives or what we give to is as individualized as each person that's in this room. And that's because God has created us as a body of Christ, each one of us with passions and hearts for certain things and ways in which we can give. And we all give differently. This week I was talking with somebody and they were going to go volunteer, and it was part of their corporation, and she was telling me, she said, they had this list of things that we may be doing. And she goes, I looked at that list, and she's like, I was just praying, I do not get on the construction team. I will cut my finger off. I will do something to hurt myself. That is not my giftedness. I cannot give in that way. And she reported back later. She goes, thank God I didn't get on that team. I was on another team where we helped people. She's like, I'm all about helping people. But that's the art of giving. Each person different, each person unique, and God has brought us all together so that as each person gives and each person does it in the way in which God has shaped and formed us to do that, we may help all people as much as possible. Now, it doesn't take much for us to look around at the natural disasters in this last few weeks, at the poverty around the world, and realize that charity is one of those things that is necessary. And there are those in this room who have been both sides of charity, those who have given and those who have received. I just want to throw some statistics out to you. The 2014 Census Bureau says that in America, there are 45 million Americans who live below the poverty line. That's approximately 14.5% of the United States. Now, there are some countries it's as high as 80%. According to the CIA World Book Fact Book, there are some countries where the vast majority of people live on less than $1.25 a day. But in America, we have been blessed. We have been blessed. And because of that, according to the National Philanthropic Trust Fund, in 2016, Americans gave $389 billion. Our charitable goods contribute to nearly 2.5% of our gross national product. The largest source of charitable giving came from individuals like you and I. Out of that $389 billion that was given, individuals gave $282 billion. Now, what? This isn't just church. This is just across the board. These are atheists. These are everyone. Why is that? Now, I would argue that it's because God innately gave us, all human beings, this desire, this need to look at others in need and say, I must do something. We see it motivated every time there's a natural disaster, anytime we see that someone's in need. Yesterday, we were at a soccer tournament, and one of the kids, unrelated to the game, just in practicing, fell and got hurt. And we found out later broke possibly both wrists from just falling. But what was amazing to me was the number of people who just came and just surrounded the family and was caring and running and calling and doing all the things necessary. That was charity. That was a necessary thing that was needed in that moment for that person and for that child's family. And they did it. No one had to recruit anybody. They didn't go around saying, hey, will somebody come help? People just naturally do that. It's our human nature. But God created us like that. But charity sometimes is seen as just this handout thing. Now, many of us know that John Phillips is the new director at Hope Central in Boonville, and they are attacking poverty on many levels, with help with financial, help with finding food, help with finding clothing, help with children who are in need of diapers and formula and things like that. They're attacking poverty. And one of the things that John and I have talked a lot about with is that ministry is like, we're not just here to just hand out stuff. We're trying to develop a relationship with individuals. Try to see what can happen in a life where if a person has skills, as simple a skill as balancing a checkbook or how do you make a job application, and you interact with people who don't have those skills, and then now you've moved them out of a need for charity into a position of provision, and then they themselves later could give back to charity. And that, I believe, is the biblical model. And so today I want to show us three things about charity that I believe help us with understanding the biblical principle of giving. The first is this: charity is about others. And that's a pretty obvious one, right? Charity is about others. Well, one thing that's amazing about charity is it gets you out of yourself. It gets you out of yourself. Boy, if you give me $100, I can tell you 10, probably 100 ways that I could spend that on me. Right? I mean, the new Star Wars movie is coming out, and I don't know if you know this, but there's a lot of collectibles that are just dying to sit on my shelf. But we don't have to, you know, learn how to take care of ourselves or how to give to ourselves. I think that's part of the reason why Jesus said, love your God, and right? And then love each other as what? As you love yourself. It just comes natural. Charity is one of those things that gets us out of ourselves. It's about the other person. This goes back to the Old Testament. We've been following the Israelites through their wandering through the wilderness the last few weeks. In the middle of Deuteronomy, God is giving them rules and regulations and principles on how to live life. In Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 to 8, God tells the Israelites, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites, if any of the towns of the land your Lord God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Now, I want to pause there for a second. There's a principle in this. This is God telling the Israelites, you're about to go into the land of promise, of milk and honey. I'm going to provide. It's going to be amazing. You follow my commands, it is going to be amazing. You're going to harvest, and before you can even finish that harvest, it's going to be time to plant. And by the time you plant, you're still eating off your last year's harvest. He's like, it's just going to be continual blessing. There's going to be provision. But even in the midst of that, he tells them, there's going to be some among you who are going to be needy. That should be a lesson for us. Now, I'm not saying that we should not attack poverty, because I believe it's something that we as Christians and as Americans, out of a blessing state, we should attack that. We should address that. We should try to alleviate it to the greatest amount of our ability. But let's just stop and realize, even in America, I'm not saying that we are the promised land or that we have milk and honey, but we are blessed, just as the Israelites were blessed. God says, even in the land of blessing, there will be those who are poverty, have poverty, and have need. Now, just recognize that. This is God recognizing human beings, that there's just going to be among us some who can't handle blessing. We don't know all the reasons why, but there are going to be some among you who are going to need. So we can't look down upon those who have nothing, who have less. That's the first thing. We can't recognize that, because God says, look, they're just going to be there. Let's do something about it, he says. When they come, don't be hard-hearted and tight-fisted. Open-handed, with great heart, to love them. In case we missed it in verse 11, just a few verses later, he says to them, to the Israelites and to us, there will always be poor people in your land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelite who are poor and needy in your land. Recognizing that there are going to be those who are poor. God recognizes it. And he says, but here's, I've got a plan. Guess what? You're the plan. Nobody got really excited about that. We're it. We're plan A on how to deal with poverty. We find ourselves in a situation where we are blessed by God, and God is saying, I want you to give back. I want you to give to others. Jesus reflected this in Matthew 5:42. He said, give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now, I'm getting ready to move, so I'm going to be borrowing from some people. So remember this verse. No. That's not what this is about. What is this about? This is about a time when people are in necessary need. And if they come to you, we shouldn't push them away. But instead, we should draw closer to them and help them. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Charity is about others. The next thing I want us to see about charity is that it is about you. It is really about you, but not in the way that you may think. One of the things that in the years of me doing nonprofit, and I used to do fundraising, and I'm all for recognizing people. I think it's important, and I think it's the right thing to do. But I was always shocked at some of the people who I thought were some of the most spiritually deep people who were very concerned that they were recognized for their giving. And it left me questioning. Why are you giving then? And I want to challenge myself, and I want to challenge others. In Isaiah chapter 58, God is talking about fasting. Now, what does fasting have to do with charity? Well, what is charity but other than with withholding from yourself a resource that you have to give to someone else? In other words, if I want to make the analogy here, that by giving to someone else, I am fasting from that resource for myself. I'm withholding that from me to give to someone. And he says this about fasting. Jesus says, or God says this in Isaiah 58, verses. Let me start with verse 4. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. In other words, he's drawing a comparison. He's saying the way that you interact, the way that you do your fast, the way that you do charity, it interferes with our relationship. Verse 5. Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen, only a day for people to be humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? He's telling Isaiah and he's telling the people of Israel. He's like, I put these fasts and these feasts in place. I put these mechanisms in place, but I didn't do it just for you to pretend. I'm not looking for posers. I'm looking for real people here. Verse 6, is not this kind of fasting I have chosen? In other words, he's saying, is this is the kind I want. I want fasting that leads to the loosening of chains of injustice. But what's the cry of, what is the cry on the war on poverty? Injustice, right? How could we best find ourselves in a place to help break injustice? By being honest and authentic in our giving and our charity. We could untie the cords and the yoke that has set people oppressed and set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food, verse 7, is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and to not turn them away, to not turn away your own flesh and blood, he says. That's sometimes the hardest, isn't it? Verse 8. Then, in other words, after you've done an honest fast, after you've done honest charity, after you've honestly worshiped me with your actions, verse 8, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear, and then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. Boy, charity is about you, but not in the way that most of us think. In Acts chapter 10, there's a story of Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion. And it says that he was a man faithful to God. I don't know where he came up with this. He's been sent in. He's part of the Italian regiment, it tells us in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius was a Roman amongst Romans. But somehow he gets assigned to Israel, and somehow he falls in love with God. And he starts to worship God. And part of that was with the giving of alms and tithes to the poor. And it says that one day, about 3 p.m, that Cornelius had a vision, and he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And then Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. And the angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. And what did God do? How was God's response? He sends an angel. He sends a message to him. He says, call for Peter. Bring Peter. And Peter comes, and he shares with Cornelius not only the message of God, Jehovah, but the message of his son, Jesus. And he gives him the complete picture, and Cornelius and his entire family come to faith in Jesus Christ. What was the precipice that, what preceded that? His giving and his faithfulness, his attitude towards the Lord, his worship of the Lord, not just in word, but in deed. Many of us are familiar with the passage in James. It's, you show me your faith and I will show you my works. And you think that just by works you're going to get it, and you think just by faith. But I'm telling you, the two come together. The two come together. When we go to the Lord and ask, when we go to him on petition, when we go to him, he wants to know, what is our attitude? If I give you this thing, whatever it may be, what are you going to do with it? The story of the 10 talents. The king gives each one of them a talent. When he comes back, he wants an accounting. One man comes back and says, I took it and I had 1 and I made 10. One took it, made 5. The other one did what with it? Buried it. He hid it. He was afraid. He was selfish. To the one who had 10, God said, give him more. To the one who has 5, said, bless him. To the one who took it and was in fear, he said, cast him out. If we give through charity and we do it with the right attitude, God hears our pleas for other things. What are you going to do? He wants to know. He wants to know. If I give you this thing that you want, and it's not just about money. You want that spouse? Oh, Lord, if I just had that one spouse, if I just had this kind of spouse. And God said, well, what would you do with them? If you're a woman, would you treat him with respect? Would you submit to his leadership? Would you allow him to be the spiritual head of your home and lead you? If you're a husband, would you love her as I have loved the church sacrificially and do everything in your power to see that she has an abundant, successful, joyful life? Or is it just about you? Oh, Lord, if I could just win the lottery. Do you know how many people win the lottery and are in worse financial shape afterwards than before? Do you know how many people who win the lottery go through divorce, who commit suicide, who have severe depression? Money's not the fix. Some of you are like, yeah, but I want to give it a try. There's a reason maybe that God hasn't given you that. I'm not saying the lottery. I'm talking about just all the financial means that you think you should have. For what you do with little, you will do with much. What are you doing with the little? Charity is about you, but it's about our attitude. It's about putting things into practice that prepares us to handle what God may want to bless us with. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is telling his disciples about giving. He's dealing with this issue directly about charity. When you do charitable things, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, he says, be careful not to be practicing your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. For if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. But he goes on to say, if you do give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Do it in secret. Do it in secret, not like those who go around with trumpets blaring. Bum, 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 look what I did. Aren't I wonderful? Maybe you know someone like that. Maybe you've been like that. And some of us have kind of, we all like to be patted on the back. I'm not saying that we don't. But Jesus says if you do it in secret, your Father who sees it in secret will reward you. You know, there's nothing wrong with the people that have these endowments and they give great amounts of money. Think about people like Bill Gates, and you think about Warren Buffett, and you think about people around the world that have just money, and they have more zeros behind their account, you know, than, I don't know, I have breaths left in my life. I don't know. I mean, just sickly amounts of money. And they give away large amounts, and I applaud them for that. Again, it's just, and for many of them, they're not even believers. It's just an attribute to God's creation of us as human beings to see need and want to try to fill that need. But in the end, I don't care how many buildings get named after them or plaques are placed around or whatever it is that's done to recognize them. According to Scripture, one day all these things will fade away. Fade away. You're like, oh, I can't believe it. But just look at the ancient civilizations. You don't think that they've made memorials in Babylon? You don't think there's people charitable in Babylon? You know there's some Babylonian that was walking around with this robe or whatever they wore back then, and they had the carved in stone, you know, their name on the building? They're like, yeah, this will last forever. until the Persians get here. And the Persians did it. And they're like, oh, this will last forever until the Greeks get here. And then the Greeks did it. And they're like, this will last forever until the Romans get here. And then the Romans are like, we will be a nation for 1,000 years, an empire that will last to all eternity until the Christians get here. And then and it just goes on and on and on. All the things of this earth come to an end. Jesus says, do what you do in secret, and the Father who sees you will reward you. And what does his reward come in? Things on this earth, yes, at times. But more importantly, it's the same passage where he's telling his disciples, will you store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't touch them? I don't know about you, but that's the kind of reward I want. Do I get it right now? No. But do I want a reward that's going to last me the next, I don't know, 40 years? Or do I want a reward that's going to last all eternity? Charity is about others. Charity is about you. But most importantly, charity is about God. Proverbs 19:17 says that whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Whoever is kind to the poor is lending to the Lord? Sounds a lot like Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus tells the story about the king who brought in the people and he separated the men and women according to what they had done. And he sees some of them on the left and he says, I was naked and hungry. You did nothing for me. And to the right, he says, you guys came and you fed me and you clothed me and you visited me when I was sick and you visited me when I was in prison. Great is your reward. And Lord, 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 when did we see you naked or hungry? When did we see you in need? Verse 4, he says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these, you did for me. Charity is about God because when we give to those who are in need, we are giving to the Lord. Because those souls, those individuals are like you and I, and they were made in his image. That's why it's so important we go back to Genesis and we recognize the God creator and that he made us in his image. They are like God. We are giving to God. If we're tight-fisted because we don't want to give to our fellow man, should we not at least be open-hearted to give to God? God has this economy in charity, and it goes like this. We receive, and we praise God for it. Then we share with others, and they praise God for it. In either way, God receives the praise. That's the economy. God is all about us giving to each other in the way that he has given to us. In 1 John, does he say, how can I say that I love God but I hate my brother? I need to love my brother. Jesus tells his disciples, which among of you, would, when your child came to you and says, I'm hungry, would give them a rock or a snake? And if you gave them a rock and a snake, maybe they'd kill the snake and they'd make stew. I don't know. But we wouldn't do that, would we? Some of us are like, no, I'm not getting anywhere near a snake. What's he saying? If you know that you who are evil would give good gifts, how much more the Heavenly Father gives us good gifts? And then in turn, if we receive good gifts from our Heavenly Father, how much more should we then give good gifts to others? As I unpacked Leviticus, and they talked about when God established the kingdom and he was establishing the sacrifices, what did he say to them? Bring the best for the sacrifice. Bring the first fruits. Bring the good stuff to me. Not the scraps, not the leftovers. That's how God wants to be treated. So now let's parlay that into and connect it with our charitable giving. When God says that we should give to others, we should not be tight-fisted, we should be open-hearted. What should we give to those who are in need? our leftovers? In the Old Testament, we talk about the story of Esther. The story of Ruth. The story of Esther is a pretty cool story that has nothing to do with charitable giving. And Ruth is brought back. She comes back and she goes in, and the way that she survives is that as they're harvesting, they purposely, according to God's law, left the edges. Left the edges. And I'm going to be corrected, I know already, by my agricultural members here, but I have been told that often the ones on the edges actually produce more. Which makes me wonder why they don't just have them all edges, but God said, leave the edges so that they can come. I want you to leave the good stuff. I want you to leave the good stuff. Not the secondhand, not like, oh, you've been going through, okay, you've harvested in your grain. There was some of it that was rotten. Give that out to the poor people. I want you to leave the, I want you to have the good stuff for them. Why? So they can praise God. I'm going to tell you right now, you get some rotten grain. Are you going to be praising God for that? No. God's like, I didn't give you rotten grain. Charity is about God. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. And we have the privilege then to distribute those. We are God's distribution plan. Isn't that awesome? No one's seeing that is awesome. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
God's like, oh, look at this. Watch this. I'm going to give stuff to you. And then you give it to others. And then he watches. And then just like that guy, he said, you know what? You had one and you made 10. Now I'm going to give you more. Here's what he's going to do. He watches us and he says, oh, look at this. I see them over there. They're giving that stuff I gave them. Boy, they're giving. I know if I give him or her more, I know what they're going to do with it. They're going to reach more. And then if you're one of us, sometimes that we're kind of like, oh, God, thank you. And you're like, well, I'm afraid. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we're afraid, right? God's like, I don't want you to be afraid. When the Israelites were out in the wilderness, he said, every day I will give you manna. And there were some who were afraid, and so they tried to harvest more than they actually could use, and it rotted, and they were caught in sin. God's like, what are you doing? I told you tomorrow I'd give you more. It's the same thing. When we receive and he wants us to share, we need to be the type of person who trusts that tomorrow there will be more. Now, that may mean you have to get up and go to work. Oh. But that's what God gave us. He says, I'm going to give you things, but you got to be a partner in this. But every good gift that comes, comes from the Father. And Wednesday night and on First Wednesdays, we're going to be taking a look at a book titled Toxic Charity. And we're going to talk about us as a church and us as individuals, how that we give and what the impact of it is on others. What is that impact on us and how does it best honor God? And so if you're able to, I want to encourage you. We're going to break down and do some small group, some table discussion Wednesday night. And our church, we set aside one of the things that just drew me to here when we first got here was that every year, 10% of everything that's brought in, of all the tithes and offerings, 10% is set aside to help missions and to help others. And that is awesome. And we've done a great job. And most of us that have been leading that charge have been following these kind of guidelines of trying to help people and do it in an honoring way. But we really want to evaluate what it is that we're giving to and how we give. And are they making impacts for the kingdom of God? So we'll be talking about some of that. Now, many of us, you know, that I have talked about the last few weeks, and we talk about the potential that, of us expanding our facilities here, of maybe doing a new worship center area. And as we are continuing to be blessed, let us understand that we are doing that, yes, to reach out to our community, yes, so that we have some maybe improved facilities, but we do it also knowing that as we grow, as we continue to increase, that also means that the potential for us to impact people through charity increases. Right? It's not about just us. I want us to know, whatever it is, whether it's a new building, whether it's new members, whether it's an increase in tithes, whatever increase God gives us, whatever blessing, whatever good gift that He gives us, we want to be accountable to each other, that we're not a clog in the system, but we're a pipeline of God's blessing to this community. So Wednesday night, I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that discussion. Charity is about others. It gets us out of ourselves. It's about you and the fact that you have to really evaluate, why am I doing this? What is the purpose of this? And the result of it should be that we are all about God. As we receive and share, we praise God that I have enough to share. And those who receive, praise God. And God gets all the glory. That is what it's all about. And Jesus Christ is the perfect example of that. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate communion. And just a word about communion. For those of you who are visiting, we at New Hope, we practice an open communion that everyone is invited. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we want you to be a part of this body. And we want you to celebrate with us because we are celebrating the greatest act of charity that ever was witnessed. We may give a few dollars, a few hours every year, but Christ gave His life. Charity is not separate from our life with Christ. It is not separate from our worship of Christ. It is essential to it. It is part of it, and it is reflective of His own life. I'm going to ask those who are going to serve communion to come forward at this time. Jesus Christ came to earth so that He may give to us what we never could attain ourselves. Now, I said earlier, some of us have been those who have been blessed enough to give in charity, and some of us have been able to, had times where we needed to receive charity. I stand before you here today to tell you that everyone in this room is in need of charity. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, all of us don't measure up. Our ledger is short. We're in the red. We never could work hard enough, never make enough, never do enough to make it right. But through the charity of Christ, He came and it says that He gave freely the gift of eternal life. He made it right. And so today, as we celebrate communion, let us remember that. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, just thank You so much for all that You do. Lord, help us to have eyes to see each morning as a gift from You. When we turn on the lights, that electricity, it's a gift. When we have clean running water in our home, we didn't have to go get it from someplace. It's a gift. The fact that we get to go and enjoy a family, that's a gift. When we need to be a part of a job, it's a gift. We have the ability to do things for ourselves and for others. It is a gift. And it's all because of You. So Heavenly Father, as we prepare to receive the communion, let us not be prideful to think that we have accomplished anything, but let us realize that we are completely 100% dependent on You. Your charity of love and forgiveness and grace is what gives us the ability to do all that we do. We were sinful, were in debt and we couldn't pay it. But you did it for us. Help us to remember that. It's in your name we pray. Amen.